Rickmansworth. Oh, Rickmansworth. The glories of a wealthy English suburb on a sunny Sunday morning. Green hedges, yellow broom, red flowers, blue skies. On my swooping, sweeping white swallow, I've slipped the grime and horror of inner London and sail serene, elegant as a swan, except for the occasional pothole. The knobbier the suburb, the more potholes they have in their roads. It gives that exclusive farm track feel to their suspensions and keeps out all those ghastly Kevins and Sharons from Watford in their escorts and cortinas. Nigel Thompson, my one-time colleague and fellow founder of the Green Times, has done well by himself. 4 years upon Julian Knight's Daily Comet, and look whereunto he has clambered. And perhaps, as an insider, he knows something of the internal wranglings of the two companies.
Look at her, eh, Andy? I know you think I've sold out, lost my soul working for the fiendish Julian Knight, but look at her. She's immaculate.
Very impressive.
Oh, you don't know the hours I've slaved over her. The second I'm off the train, I'm into me wellies and onto her. Digging, forking in mould and manure, scattering bone meal.
What wonderful carrots. And the rows are immaculate.
Totally self-sufficient in vegetables and fruit we are, with the freezer. All year round we can live off what I've grown here. And we've got the mini orchard over there, russets...
Why is he rabbiting on like this? Vegetables, vegetables, vegetables. Looking back on it, you can see why. He was putting on an immense effort to appear natural. And what could appear more natural than proving to me he has a conscience about ecology?
I know it's a fantasy, but just over the hedge there are millions of other houses and chemical factories and motorways. But here... Oh, look at it. Blossom, the greenness. Listen to the birds and the bees. An English garden on an English summer's day. Come on, I'll introduce you to the other guest. Top up your glass.
What's your wife's name?
Helen. And the two children are Simon and Geoffrey. Helen will be keeping them indoors, though. They can make a lot of row over dinner. Are you still with them?
Shirley?
Yes.
Indeed. We still have a rigorously honest interrelationship situation. At the moment, though, I'm giving her space to explore the parameters of her inner femininity.
You mean she's a dyke?
Well, she is much influenced by feminism.
You poor soul.
Why poor? I'm in love with her. All the paradoxes I have to deal with keep me young and limber. I envy your children, though.
Those are my mortgage, you're welcome to. Ah, here you are, Anne.
Nigel.
You must have got here while we were looking at the vegetables.
I passed you. You were both wrapped in such intense concentration, I thought I must have stumbled across an obscure Rickmansworth vegetable cult in the midst of worship.
Well, you've got a drink.
Helen fixed it. Hello, I'm Anne Rogers.
Oh, yes. I recognise you.
Oh, I'm sorry. Andy, this is Anne Rogers, the Comet's columnist extraordinaire. And this is Andy Smith. He and I used to run an ecology magazine. He still does.
So it was your racing bike I saw in the driveway. An ecological knight on his white charger.
Well, more a tilter at windmills, I'm afraid.
Ah, a self-denigrator. You obviously secretly have a very high opinion of yourself. Nigel... I'd love some more of your recycled Romanian tractor oil.
Ah, my Chateau Brizard. I was given a whole case after a freebie round their vault. More for you, Andy.
Oh, please.
Right. Back in a second.
I've read your column. It's got some very interesting things in it.
I have a rule. I don't give a toss whether someone likes or dislikes me as long as they don't bullshit me. You're as likely to have enjoyed my column in the Comet as you are to get a job dropping napalm on babies in the Third World. It goes against the grain.
Sorry. You're quite right. I don't agree with your opinions, but speaking as a professional, I do admire your style.
Crisp and snide. Or as a rival once described me, that upmarket bitch. It's mainly a question of making some poor people feel superior to other poor people by making snobbish comments about all poor people. An ancient technique. I admire your work.
Pardon?
In the same way that a butterfly secretly envies the workaday honeybee, getting on with life's work.
You don't read my stuff.
Don't I? You are arrogant, aren't you, rushing to judgment? Just because I have expensively waxed legs, couture dress and elegantly relaxed hairstyle, you assume I never poke my nose into your appallingly printed little mag. I don't agree with a word of the idealistic rubbish you write, but I do admire the way you write it.
Let's sit down at the table.
Ah, oh, Rickmansworth rustic. Coarse-grained oak planks specially designed to scatter the maximum number of splinters in your bum.
It's a lovely day, isn't it?
You do like the quiet life. Can't even be controversial about garden furniture. How many nuclear scandals have you broken?
Oh, a few.
What modesty. All I can say is that at least nuclear weapons are to the point and make things go with a bang, which is more than can be said for most anti-nuclear protesters. Life in a nuclear-free Britain would be like having to read Guardian editorials for all eternity.
Talking about nuclear scandals...
Ah, here comes Nigel, bearing plonk.
Look at it. An eyesore. Why do we do it?
Mr. Knight, sir.
Self-made young millionaire's kite. We all seem to have to buy the most ghastly mansions in Surrey. Stockbroker baronial, Tolworth Tudor. Then we have to pretend to live in them. I can see now why I almost never come here.
Yes, Mr. Knight.
Still no information on Blackjack.
He's still officially on safari, Mr. Knight. He can't be contacted.
Ah, he's clever. I'll tell you what he's doing out in his black African veldt. He and Major Sahid are picking off any shares through some Swiss go-between. What are our major shareholders saying?
They assure us, sir, they're not moving. They remain faithful.
Yes, I can imagine it. A pensions manager with a wind up his pinstripes is a sight to behold. I've got to speak to Watson man to man. Weigh him up. Kite.
Mr. Julian?
I believe this mansion possesses a swimming pool. Bring out a telephone, take off your clothes.
Oh.
Swim up and down in it.
Oh.
And as I watch your delicious form part the waters, I'll pick up the phone and speak direct to Black Jack. Smoke him out. Then I think I'll come in and join you in the water.
But it's freezing, Mr. Knight, sir. The heater hasn't been on.
I know. We'll both find it stimulating.
Oh, no more drink, please. Meal was delicious. Come on.
Yes, more wine for our nuclear Puritan. There.
What I really want to know, though, and you're both in the middle of it, the natural organisation...
23 unsteady stories of tower block.
...is what the hell is happening? Is Black Jack Watson going to swallow you?
Julian Knight has a very strong editorial line on that. No, he's not.
I'm not talking about the official line. That's public posturing. All we on the outside know is that AFCO have issued what is considered an underpriced offer for natural. The offer's been refused, Julian Knight has spat his defiance, and now, even though the bid is still on, everything's gone deathly quiet.
You have got your nose jammed in the keyhole, haven't you?
Well, what's going on? The quiet before the storm?
Well, we don't know. We humble hacks merely receive our instructions on our computer screen from the 23rd floor. We have to uncover every speck of dirt on Watson and his African friends.
Now, Major Sahid.
Right. And pump it into the newspaper. Well, there's plenty of dirt on Sahid. Armour of half the world's terrorists, sitting on half the world's mineable uranium, but nothing on Watson.
And nothing on the hijacked radioactive materials on the M4?
No!
What?
Well, it's just a crackpot theory of Andy's.
Hijacked nuclear materials on the
M4? I'm sure that the van involved in the M4 robbery was smuggling uranium or some radioactive material in from Tambia.
I told you, Andy, it's rubbish!
Well, thank you, Nigel. It's always good to have a fellow professional's opinion on
There's
a story.
There's no need to be so bloody rude, Nigel.
I'm sorry, Andy. Sunshine and the wine have gone to my head.
And he grins at me with such manic contrition. What agonies of conscience is he undergoing? Poor, torn Nigel. I look away in embarrassment.
Well, that certainly destroyed an elegant flow of discourse.
Sorry.
Andy was asking about Black Jack, I recall. Why he wants to guzzle up natural.
Vanity. Black Jack really wants respectability, buy his way into Fleet Street.
No, Andy's right.
Oh, I never thought I'd hear you say
If that. He wants into Fleet Street, there's any number of rags he could buy up. Black Jack wants natural.
And presumably it's not the health foods he's after, or the rock groups or cheap airlines.
Electronics?
Possibly. None of them are likely, though.
The personal grudge. That perennial standby of popular journalism and soap opera scripts. I suspect they both enjoy a good grudge.
The telephone switched on.
I've just done it, Sir Jack.
I think I've stretched him to breaking. If I were Julian Knight, which thank God I am not, my nerves would be curling back under my fingernails. I couldn't stop myself reaching for the telephone and dialing this number. Just think. Even now, a tiny electronic code is being encapsulated as he dials, is impulsing down the wire from his telephone, under streets, over railway lines it passes, slipping into some vast exchange, then suddenly hurtled into the great bowl of a radar dish. Now, mere impulse, shot forth into the heavens, racing to the sky, ceases to be warm and blue, becomes cold, black. Out there among the crystal stars, hitting the glass satellite, bouncing, pinging down again, this time into a different atmosphere. Warm, muggy, drowning, slipping into my radar dish, going through the circuits in my receiver in my Land Rover, thrilling my phone to start ringing.
I'll get it, Sir Jack.
Let it ring. Let him bite his fingernails a while. Stamp and fret. Is it not a miracle that one human soul can search out, unerringly locate another human soul in such immensity? The very human soul that is to destroy him. You may fetch me the phone, Gray.
I envy him his children.
You what?
His children.
You don't like children, do you?
Yes.
How peculiar. But you haven't got any.
Lovely day. Sun beating down. How old are you, Anne?
30.
Yeah, there it is, you see. You wouldn't speak like that if you were hanging on to 39. Time passes. Cells weaken and start to fall apart. My hair recedes. I don't have much time left to become a parent. Come on, Nigel, where's that wine?
Worried about getting on? Old age?
No.
Yes, Sir Jack, I see that. What I am suggesting, though, is that this situation, having dragged on for nearly 3 weeks, should be resolved between the two of us face to face here in London. Could I suggest a time? This coming Thursday. I'm sure you'd agree that Tambia would not be suitable. There are many people around the world we're going to have to consult during our talks. Electronic communications are so much better here in London. Good. Next Thursday, then. I look forward to seeing you. God, that a man in my position should so have to crawl.
Oh, what did he say, then?
Surly and gracious little man. Doesn't give a thing away. He agreed to Thursday.
Thursday? Here in London?
Yes, so we have work to do. What's happening in Rickmansworth?
On the last report, everything seemed to be going fine.
It just better had.
Can I get out of the pool now?
Get the rolls round here straight away. You can dry out on the motorway. Oh, God, what an ugly mansion.
More wine?
Please.
Please. I knew Julian Knight once.
What?
When?
When I was at Cambridge, in those glorious halcyon days of the 60s.
I knew it. Another ageing hippie.
Well, naturally, I and most of my contemporaries were planning world revolution and the general swinging of all dons from lampposts. Julian Knight, however, kept himself closeted to himself, concocted an aura around himself, stayed in his darkened rooms, wore a dressing gown at all times, and smoked exotic cheroots. Rumour has it, he ran the college dope ring. You both titter.
The whip of the exotic cheroot is still not unknown on the 23rd floor. curtains?
Nora heavy curtains, long dressing gowns.
And pretty young men.
Several of the more creative decisions that have shaped the future of natural are meant to have been reached following large oversniffs of white snow.
Okay.
Right.
But he never loses his grip. You've got to admire him. I've never once seen him let his defences drop.
It's set up.
The meeting.
This Thursday in London, as planned. What's the situation in, what's the name of the place?
Rickmansworth.
Yes.
We don't appear to be losing.
What's that mean? We're meant to be winning. Knight's rooftop penthouse. It's got a swimming pool up there too, hasn't it?
Yes, Sir Jack.
Good. This is going to be an interesting little hunting expedition I'm setting up. Hunting for game in the home counties.
The Porsche 911 Cabriolet does 0-60 in 6 seconds flat.
It's white, like my bike.
Then cruises comfortably at 110 miles per hour.
Even though we're thankfully doing 60 in the slow lane.
You really like the safe life, don't you?
Hey, thanks for giving me and my Claude Butler a lift back to London.
My Porsche has immaculate black leather upholstery, more dials than the space shuttle, and a canopy roof that allows me to bathe my air in the slipstream. Feel it.
Mmm.
Another perk for selling one's soul to Julian Knight.
Oh, don't let's start all that again.
You really don't realise what an insult it is to our younger generation, do you, to have to sit around all afternoon listening to two old fogies like you and Nigel boring on about the 1960s? How fabulous, new, imaginative it all was. It's patronising. You could afford to be idealistic then, sit around on your bum smoking dope and pontificating about the state of the world. Our generation can't afford that. We've got to fight for a job. Look smart, well-groomed, obedient. We must do what we...
I'd seen it first, as we left Nigel's. A grey, very undistinguished Cortina wallowing behind us in the potholes. Now it followed, 3 cars back on the motorway.
All that I smoked a joint with a girl who smoked a joint with Mick Jagger crap.
Anne?
Yes?
Look, I'm really sorry for all that boring 60s stuff you had to sit through. I apologise. But how about you and me doing something quintessentially 80s?
Meaning?
You putting your foot down and showing me what this Vorsprung Dork Technic Mobile can really do.
Conspicuous petrol consumption, you mean?
And damn the lead pollution.
Hold on, then. Here we go. Feel your hair streaming in the wind?
For a while, the Cortina stayed with us. Then, oil and smoke pouring from its bonnet, it sank away behind. For a moment, we were free, alone, at speed. The sun sank a bit. We seemed to find ourselves at our flat. Everything tastefully minimal, except the rent. Soft greys, olive greens, and a cocktail bar that looked like the Pompidou Centre. We sank into the upholstery, and the cocktail sank into us. A silence fell.
Knight errant on a white bicycle.
Yes?
Are you sure you know what you're doing?
Pardon?
That you know what the hell it is you're letting yourself in for. Precisely how deep the waters are you're floundering around in.
I'm not following.
Of course you're following. We all know, everyone at the Comet, in Natural International, knows that something's going on. Something very big, rather sinister, but what? Now, true to form, you turn up with your hangdog self-apologetic air, snooping around, your tongue hanging over your handlebars.
I'm not...
Don't apologise. It's extraordinary. As I sit here, I feel myself both despising and admiring you, your journalistic instincts. Above all, I find myself feeling sorry for you. Protective. For that I despise myself. You almost make me feel...
Yes?
Feel I should warn... Forewarn you. I'm meant to be the hard-headed, no-nonsense career woman.
Warn me of what?
You'll get it out of me, won't you? You'll find out. I only know one thing. At the time of the M4 robbery, I know the word went out, a very strong word, that there was to be no hint or mention of radioactivity.
Ah.
There, you see? We 80s yuppies have a few ideals too.
The word went out in the Comet or everywhere?
Everywhere, I presume. It was probably an unofficial D notice. Certainly in the Comet, for those who could read the signs, certain subtle steps were taken.
By the government?
I don't know, Andrew. I just know the strength of that word. If I were you, I don't know how you'd do it. Every financial journalist in London's trying, getting nowhere. Try, find out what's actually going on between AFCO and Natural. What Blackjack and Natural are up to. That's where you'll find your real answers. You're attached.
Pardon?
I asked. I meant. Do you have a relationship with anyone?
One long waxed leg modestly slid over the other.
Me? Well, Shirley. That's my lady person. She and I have, we've defined it as an open relationship situation.
You mean she sleeps around, you do the washing up?
Got it in one. Shirley had demanded the right to freedom. I had remained monotonously monogamous. Until now. When was the last time I had allowed my hand to run free over such smooth, endless, unhairy legs?
I'll have to make a telephone call first.
What?
The strong word had gone down. Find out what's really happening between Natural and AFCO. That's where you'll find real answers. I had precious little chance of penetrating their real world, but I knew someone who might.
Unhealthy Enterprises Incorporated, good evening.
Birmingham?
Yeah.
Andy here. Can I disturb you?
Oh, only somewhat. I was staring out of the window watching the sunset.
Oh, I see.
Contemplating. Wondering about life and that like. What do we achieve in life? What person actually builds a proper monument to his or her memory, I was thinking.
I see. For one second, I catch a glimpse of her body through the bedroom door.
A farmer, that's who. At the end of his life, see, when he's handing over his lands and his animals to his successor, he can point to it and say, that there's me. That land's me sweat and me industry and me life. Now it's yours. Same with a parent looking at a child.
You sound a bit down.
No challenges in my life. Basically, I'm bored.
Well, let me unbore you.
I can't remember the last time I went to bed with a woman who didn't have hairy legs.
And I can't remember the last time I went to bed with a man with hairy legs.
That night, with Anne asleep on my shoulder, I, intrepid hack, lie awake, haunted by the question that haunts all true journalists. Someone leaks you a story. Which is more significant, the leak or he who hath leaked? Knight and Watson are locked in battle. Someone is smuggling radioactive materials into this country. Presumably, someone else tells me of this. I would assume it was Watson doing the smuggling, Knight the leaking. But Knight himself has told his own journalists to shut up about the story. I'm running blind, rushed from behind. But at least, amid the darkness and confusion, amid the thumps and blunders, I have a small sporting chance of working out who doeth what to whom and surviving. But by my own decision, I've introduced into this game one person who's utterly blind, utterly ignorant of its rules, even of its existence. As pain starts to fill my gut, as dawn starts to streak the ceiling grey, I can stand it no longer. Quietly I rise, slip from the flat, out across London on my bike. As the early morning sun streams through the trees of the park, I rest my bike against his railings, push open his front door and climb upstairs to his attic. His computers and hardware stand unmoving as megaliths, quietly chanting to themselves. His cat's upset a baked bean tin. A single screen flashes and flashes oblivion. And before it, his blood rich in the dusty sunlight, lies Birmingham. Birmingham, whose extraordinary ordinariness had warmed and cheered my life, lay spilt and wasted. Another mother's son. A piece of paper in his hand, a number scrawled upon it. Then there's a movement.
Hello, Smith.
Blue eyes, cruel, piercing as a wolf. A knife in his hand, shepherding me towards a corner. Before I can think, I'm down the stairs, out the door on my bike. But this time they haven't made a mistake. Grinning as he squashes his blonde hair beneath a helmet, he lazily kicks his motorbike to life. Where I can go, so can he. And as this appalling, jagged race starts, what is the question that whips my mind, terrifies me truly? Why, whether he ever intends to catch me, or just chase me for all eternity.